Future with Finland is a series of podcasts from Invest in Finland, looking at the unique business, digital, research and development and innovation landscape within the country. The podcast series will cover a range of subjects from health data, AI, digitalization, through to smart cities, twin transition and sustainable manufacturing, with a range of expert, internationally focused guests sharing their experiences from within the country and explaining how their company have achieved success there. My name is Roy Meredith, Senior Advisor for Invest in Finland in the UK, and I'll be your host for the series.
Today we hear about twin transition, green growth and digital transformation, and their importance for the future. In today's podcast, we hear Kone explain how most of their components and materials are already recyclable, allowing them to progress towards their target of carbon neutrality by 2030. We hear about Sandvik's global Make the Shift program, enabling sustainability to become a key driver and allowing them to also hit a target by 2030 of a 50% reduction in CO2. And VTT talk about their unique definition of carbon handprint and how companies can make a positive impact on the future. I'm sure our guests won't mind me describing them as a panel of heavyweights. At least I hope they don't mind me describing them as a panel of heavyweights, because I mean it in stature and reputation, all experts in their fields. Today we're joined by my co-host, Tony Mattila, Head of Sustainable Manufacturing for Business Finland, for whom he has worked for over 8 years, and his previous roles have been mostly focused in academia prior to Business Finland. Rauna Hatika, Head of Technology Management at Kone, the engineering giant employing 55,000 people globally and a pioneering company within R&D and engineering. Rauna has been working at Kone for nearly 3 decades, focusing on how technology and innovations can help create a smoother and more sustainable people flow, specialised in technology experiences, research, ideation around sustainability. Mika Kuski. Mika has worked for 23 years at Sandvik in different commercial research and technology development duties. His current role is commercialization and ecosystem lead, technology development and services. And Mika also leads the sustainability area of Sandvik in Finland. And finally, Tiina Pajula, Principal Scientist, Sustainability Assessment at VTT, the Technical Research Centre of Finland, a government-funded research and innovation organisation. Tiina is a sustainability professional with over 20 years of experience in sustainable business concepts. She specialised in bio-based and circular economies, sustainability metrics and environmental communication. So welcome to you all. We look at twin transition, digitalisation and sustainability, which could be said is one thing society is getting and the other it desperately needs. But let's look at sustainability and a question for each of you. So, Rauna, if I can kick off with you, how does Kone approach the critical area of sustainability?
So at Kone, our mission or purpose is to improve the flow of urban life. So urbanization, sustainability and technology are the 3 megatrends and drivers in the development in our industry. And for example, smart and sustainable cities are new focus area in our strategy, which really highlights our level and ambition in embedded digitalization and sustainability in our business. I have worked with R&D and ideation for nearly 3 decades, and I have seen the Kone sustainability from Kone from various viewpoints, already from early days when we avoided the use of hazardous substances and integrated energy efficient as an integral part of our products. And today we embedded different aspects of sustainability into every step of our operations.
Mika, a question for you, for Sandvik. Your role encompasses both technology development and services, and you lead the sustainability area of Sandvik in Finland. Can you explain how your role involves both elements and any kind of clashes between them, or how they help each other, both sustainability and digitalization?
Yeah, sure. We see that in the technology development, this sustainability, which has been taken as a part of the business driver at Sandvik, we are developing various digital technologies that can actually greatly enhance sustainability. And of course, vice versa, the digitalization is, giving us a lot more new data that help us to optimize various of areas at our customer processes that we are able then to help them to become more effective, more resource efficient, etc. On the other hand, we have been creating at the company level the Make the Shift program, that is then cascaded down to different organizations of Sandvik to execute. And myself, I'm looking at the both sides, which is a very, very exciting position to be in at these days.
That's great. Tina, I'm going to ask you a slightly different question, actually, for two reasons. One, you work for VTT, so it's a research center. And secondly, you're a sustainability professional of over 20 years experience, as we mentioned earlier. But one thing I noticed in your bio is sustainability metrics. And to my mind, I only ever thought of carbon neutrality and carbon footprints as being sustainability metrics. But with the march forward of digitalization, how do you measure sustainability, and particularly with regards to digitalization?
Well, yes, carbon footprint is probably the most famous metric of sustainability, but how we understand sustainability in Broadway, it covers three pillars, actually. One is environmental part, but also there is this economic and social aspects that should be included when we are aiming at the sustainable world. The environmental part is not only about climate change and carbon footprint, but also other environmental aspects like eutrophication and acidification, etc., the resource use and so on. So it's really broad aspects that we have to take into account. And that's why the metrics is also complicated. And there are sometimes trade-offs between different aspects. Sometimes the environmental part can be going well, but if we optimize it too much, then we lose somewhere else. Well, at VTT, the sustainability is involved in all we do. We have actually three business areas. One is carbon neutral solutions, one is sustainable products and materials, and the third one is digital technologies. And in all these areas, we have to make sure that whatever is innovated and developed, they are sustainable as such. And this has to be checked at the very early stage of the development process. And then we use these metrics that I just mentioned, covering all three aspects of sustainability. But yes, the carbon footprint is currently maybe the most important because of the climate situation, but we must not forget the others either.
Of course.
We are well aware that sustainability is a priority for Finland as the country is determined to be carbon neutral by 2035. This means, of course, that we are very much looking towards our industries to make this happen. Now, what do you think? Will companies genuinely adopt to a more sustainable future, even at the risk of profits? What do you think, Mika?
I think generally it's a little bit challenging to comment on behalf of others, but from Sandvik point of view, we've definitely taken the sustainability as a business driver. And coming from Finland perspective, I think we have a strong technology background, strong educational system, and great companies that are utilizing the high technologies. So therefore, at least on behalf of Sandvik, yes, this is in the center of business going forward.
What do you think, Rauno? Can KONE make sustainability a really good business?
Yes, I think we can. And actually, we have published or announced this kind of that KONE aims to have a carbon neutral operation by 2030. And let's say that this sustainability is no longer an option. I think it's a must. And KONE is conducting its business in responsible and sustainable way. And we expect the same commitment from our suppliers.
Thank you. This is a question to Tina from VTT. What do you think? How big or small topic sustainability is for companies? Is it relevant only for certain types of companies? And how wide a consideration should it be within a company?
I think it's getting more and more important widely in all companies. And I think there are practically two main reasons. Reason number one are the consumers. They are more aware of sustainability, and they are really demanding sustainable solutions and products. And reason number two are investors. So it's only a couple of last years that actually the investors and bankers have paid more attention on the companies that they are investing in and in terms of environmental impacts. And actually, there is this EU taxonomy on under development at the Commission, where it's a classification system which will provide list of environmentally sustainable economic activities. And this is also one driver that makes companies to look for more sustainable solutions. So I would say that it's pretty much everywhere nowadays.
Sustainability is naturally a very wide topic, and VTT has done a pioneering work in this regard, and you have introduced the term a carbon handprint. Can you tell us a little bit, what do you mean by that?
As everyone probably knows about carbon footprint, which is about negative impacts, so all the burdens that a product or service has provided during its lifetime. And carbon footprint is something you try to minimize as much as possible. But opposite to this, carbon handprint is about positive impacts. So you will, with your product, you may be able to reduce carbon footprint of someone else, of another actor, another company. And this is carbon handprint. This is the positive impact your company or your product can do. This term has been used for some years already, but there hasn't been very clear definition what it means and no way of quantifying it. So at VTT, we developed this procedure together with Lappeenranta University, where we give a step-by-step guidance how to actually quantify this carbon handprint.
I think this is very, very good concept, because it clearly helps us to think it in two ways. It's on one hand, sustainability is about what you do yourself. But on the other hand, there is the handprint, which is the helping hand for other companies to achieve their goals regarding sustainability and reduction of their carbon footprint. What do you see which one, carbon footprint, carbon handprint, would provide bigger business opportunities?
Yeah, it's hard to say which one is bigger, but I think for the Finnish companies, at least, we have lots of clean tech companies and companies that actually provide these products and services that help others to reduce their emissions and their footprints. I think handprint is really valid and important way of communicating about the positive they can do. And it's also good tool even for the product development, because you can check already at the development phase if and where you can actually create handprint with your products or services, because the handprint is different in different markets, because it's calculated based on the reference situation in the market in question.
Sandvik, through the Make the Shift program, has a target by 2030 to reduce 50% CO2 in our business. And of course, that's about first, it's important to measure the footprint and to understand the elements where that is arising, how do we generate that, and also finally, what we can do to reduce it. And also, I think it's an excellent concept, this handprint, because that's sort of enabling us to see also the impact side of it. It's difficult to say at this stage which one is more, let's say, from the opportunity point of the view, element that is impacting most. But I definitely see that these both are very, very much needed. And this handprint, especially, we've been engaged into that discussion, and we see that as an excellent concept.
As I said, we have announced that we want to be carbon neutral by 2030. And then how we are making it more visible. So actually, we have just launched a new strategy, which is the sustainable success with our customer. And for sure, there are different kind of standards already exist to support those, but I'm not able to say which one is more important.
Yeah, thank you. And obviously, it depends on what kind of products and services your company is using, how big a handprint it can have.
I think it's very important to emphasize both, so not really compare which one is more important, because they are both useful and important, and you should try to minimize your footprint and maximize your handprint.
If we then, it seems that we agree sustainability can be a considerable business opportunity, but do you think that there is a danger that some of the companies will use it merely as a means for positive branding, much like other buzzwords have been used in the past?
I think it's not possible anymore. If it was, let's say, 10 years ago, I think this is quite short term to use that as a buzzword. And I think that now there has come also a lot of these kind of standards, like, for example, our customer are this kind of this smart building standard, like, and this like a LEED and BREEAM for green buildings. And then also we have these standards as like ISO 2475, where we have to really rate what is the energy consumption of our elevators, escalators. So first we have to simulate that and tell what it is, and after that to measure. So I think this buzzword is not anymore possible.
I a little bit disagree, because I think it's used really widely, and everything and everyone is sustainable in their claims, which of course reduces the credibility of the word. I agree that there are more and more standards which are very helpful, and that's the way we should proceed, and then gain harmonization for measures and methodologies. But still, at this moment, there are hundreds of eco labels and claims on the market. Of course, this is more true in the consumer business than in the heavy industrial business. But for example, the carbon neutrality as such is a term that is not really defined, and many companies aim at being carbon neutral, but there is no real definition what it really means and how you can become carbon neutral, and what is allowed to be kind of included in your concept. And there is only standardization starting now to make international standard for carbon neutrality. So we will have this in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I do agree that perhaps this has been the case, that it has been more used and, as a buzzword, or that sort of a greenwashing has been taking place in the past. But nowadays, definitely, this is something that's to be taken extremely seriously, especially when we start to have a common measurement standards calculation principle, so that we can actually start comparing our activities and what they do produce. This can still happen, this green washing or using that as a positive branding or buzzwording, but there will be more facts that these words are linked to, and hence that sort of bringing the link to evidence in what you are saying. And I think it's a good thing.
And maybe I think it also depends of the company and industry, so where we are with that. But as I said, for example, this green building era, there are quite strict rules, and you are not even able to offer if you are not filling those and you are not able to deliver what is asked. But for sure, in maybe some other industry, there's still this greenwashing.
There were some really interesting comments and a little bit of contrast about within the responses to that previous question. And one, I can't remember who said, I think it was Tina, said that there was possibly that business to business is more serious about sustainability, or can achieve sustainability a little bit more easy than business to consumer companies. And I think that's very true. When we look at disposable fashions, or we look at the consumerism involved in changing mobile phones every year, I think that's a real worry. Because of that, and I'll ask each and every one of you, do you think we'll always be challenged by achieving sustainability? Or is this a journey that we can get to the end, you know, we can get to nearly the end of, or will it always be a challenge, particularly considering business to consumer, which I know nobody is in here, but I just think it's an interesting thing to maybe mention.
I'm not the expert to say what does it, is there this greenwashing from business to customer? For sure, yes. And I think maybe challenge there is that even there is this kind of, for example, labeling ABC and so. So what is the really the impact, and is it really saving, for example, the customer or user money? But maybe there is less from this business to business.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Obviously, this is, I see, relative to how the value chains are structured. So where the sort of upstream production or resources are generated, and how far are they sort of the consumers from that process and how that is made transparent to those ones. So,
as I've already said, the measuring sustainability is a key, and there the data collection is, I think, the biggest challenge when measuring and evaluating sustainability. And here, I think digitalization comes nicely to the picture, because it can actually improve the data collection, improve transparency and traceability of the data. And I think in the future, the consumers are able to have even real-time data when they are buying goods, and they know exactly, for example, which farm in Brazil their coffee beans in their coffee cup is coming from. So yeah, I think this is possible in the future to follow everything with the help of digitalization and traceability of data.
Thank you, Tiina, for taking us to the next theme of this conversation, digitalization in sustainability. From the perspective of your organizations, what is the role of digitalization and technology in general in sustainability? We start with Mika from Sandvik.
Yeah, I think digitalization and data-driven new offering and capabilities are very important going forward. So data, let's say environment, systems, applications, assets start to be more connected, and the more information we start to get and data from the different parts of the, for example, customer processes, then when we are doing the analytics, predictive and prescriptive analytics, and we are able by data to optimize the assets utilization and bring efficiencies and safety to the customer environment. So the data will be very, very important. And I think the challenging part here is that this is taking companies to the new offering areas where they have not been before. So it's a bit of a challenge, but also it remains a great opportunity.
Yeah, so you're looking into efficiencies and use of energy, use of resources and so forth.
Exactly.
Rauno, what do you think at Kone?
I think it's really goes to hand in hand. Also what Tiina said, that this digitalization, first we are able to get the data. And I think that when we get in the data, we see where are the biggest areas where we are able to improve. And I have actually good example from our business. So we have a called that kind of service in Kone like a 24/7, which means that we are connecting our devices to the cloud. And when we are getting the devices out in the cloud, we can really see that how those are working, and we can see beforehand if there is coming some call-outs, which means that, for example, our site person doesn't have to go always on the site to check if everything okay and so on. I think it's a good example so that we can remotely have a look how are those working and how, and we are saving this or have a sustainable way not to go to site and the really it's a big impact.
Thank you. Tiina, what do you think at VTT? What is the role of digitalization in sustainability?
There is lots of data everywhere, but how to make the data flow, how to get it transferred, that is the one of the biggest questions. And so at VTT, we kind of find solutions, first of all, how to get the data moving and how to find new ways of using it. And data space thinking, for example, is a one new innovation that is developed at VTT, where different platforms can work together without transferring data. But at the same time, as we develop these solutions, we also look for ways of applying them. So how to identify and develop potential value creation based on the digitalization. And that's another area where there is lots of innovations. And for example, servitizing products, like was already mentioned, that the industries have this tendency of shifting their core offerings from products to services. Also, digital twins can help to simulate and optimize, etc. So we need both. We need solutions and we need applications.
All of you emphasize very much the use of data. It, of course, It means more computations, increased connectivity all around, everywhere. Do you see that there is a backside to increasing digitalization? And if so, should we be concerned about it?
For sure, there are always two sides in each coins, and you have to be really the selective also this data.
Yeah, and I think, when we are significantly increasing the data processing power in various parts of our processes, so obviously we end up consuming more energy. And of course, that could be foreseen as an area. You have to do something with that. But having that said, it's also very important how the energy is produced. So, and for that reason, I think, for example, from energy consumption point of the view, we should look at that from the systemic point of the view rather than trying to optimize each bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, I totally agree with Miika. The energy demand is already huge and it is growing and growing because of digitalization. So the only solution is to have green electricity, and that's a big challenge, how to provide green electricity in such great amounts that it will be sufficient for everyone. Practically, current green electricity sources are like solar and wind and hydropower, but the problem is how to store this energy, because it's not available all the time. Then we need solutions to store it, like hydrogen solutions, for example, are currently developing quite fast. But anyway, this is one big challenge that comes alongside with the digitalization. Another challenge or problem might be the threat of hackering and how to resilience. And that's another part that needs lots of attention.
That is a very interesting point, particularly that if our manufacturing and value chains are becoming reliant on data. So is that a vulnerability for some manufacturing if there are breakages in the reach of data or flow of data? What happens, of course? Those are things that time will tell when we get there. But if we then move on further to the innovation and research ecosystems here within this field, you obviously come from various different fields of business and research, but a question to you all, what do you see are the major challenges or must-win battles towards a truly sustainable future?
Well, maybe there are few challenges. Of course, climate change is kind of a biggest phenomenon at the moment. But from technology development point of view, I think it's very important to identify the sustainable solutions at as early stage as possible in the development phase. So pay attention already at the development phase on the sustainability aspects. We can also call it eco-design. And then I think circular economy solutions. We need to find those circular economy solutions that are truly sustainable, because not everything is sustainable by heart. If you recycle, it's possible that it actually produces more emissions than the traditional way of doing things. So we have to be careful. There also one more thing that I would like to mention is the getting rid of the critical raw materials. So there are tons of raw materials that are very much actually related to the digitalization that are used in batteries, etc. And they are really rare and we are losing them fast. And we need to get solutions to replace these materials.
What are your thoughts, Rauno, on the challenges and must-win battles?
In that sense, we are quite positive situation, because most of our, let's say, material what we are using is this kind of recyclable. Most of those are steel and that kind of things. And let's say our biggest emission comes from the operation time of our equipment and so on. Maybe the challenge is still that there in the, if we think about this building, there are still several players and maybe all the systems are not still working together and communicating and sharing the data. Maybe with the better sharing the data and so on, we are able to do more sustainable solutions. Maybe that's the biggest challenge.
What do you think, Miika?
This is perhaps a bit repeating what was already said, but from the OEM equipment builder point of the view, like we are in Sandvik, So the design for sustainability capabilities have to get adapted. And we need to better understand going forward what design solutions contributes to sustainability or what are not contributing to sustainability. And how do we at the design stage create solutions in products and offerings that are supporting sustainability and also potentially circular economy solutions? They have to be designed in. And what comes to data, that was already said as well, but I think today, generally speaking, we see the market is very protective, or the companies are rather protective on their data, because it can be the case that they don't necessarily understand what's the value in it. So it's not shared. If somebody else could capture the value, that's potentially not, for example, within your scope and et cetera. So the principles of sharing data and utilizing that and these kind of a sharing models and value sharing models, et cetera, I think these will have to get further developed and adopted.
I think this, Mika, was a little bit also what I said, so that to really to share the data to really get the best. And I agree that still companies are protecting their data.
Now, if we think of these challenges related to the twin transitions and ways to find solutions for them, VTT as a research organization is naturally an integral part of the Finnish innovation ecosystem. But both Kone and Sandvik has recently been granted with the major awards for being the drivers of economic innovation here in ecosystemic innovation here in Finland. How do you see, how ready is the Finnish ecosystems to tackle these challenges of twin transition? And furthermore, are there, in your opinion, aspects that make Finnish innovation ecosystem stand apart and perhaps particularly capable of tackling these issues?
Yeah, I think there are already many very well-founded ecosystems in Finland. And they can be like industrial symbiosis, but they can also be wider systems. And we at VTT actually provide platforms to create such ecosystems. And that's one of our main roles, to find partners and companies that could cooperate and build or create such an ecosystem. So I think we have good basis, but there's of course lots of work also still to do in order to get most out of it and understand all the benefits and identify the challenges, and with the help of also the sustainability assessment, to identify best ways of building these ecosystems.
Then Mika, what is your perspective from Sandvik innovation ecosystem?
First of all, of course, we are more and more focusing on our core activities, and we are either not capable of, or we don't want, or for any other reasons, to do something in-house. Of course, then for that reason, we need to have a rather large innovation and business ecosystems, and especially when talking about research and technology development. So our ambition is to create a clear path from research to products. And in that journey, we definitely need partners that can contribute to the competencies, to the research, and then the high-tech companies somewhere down the road, the value chain that can contribute to the applied research stage and eventually supply us the products. So yes, the ecosystemic way of working is something that we have already adopted quite well, but of course there's plenty of things to be developed there, not to say that everything is not perfect, but this ecosystem way of working has definitely its strengths, for example from risk sharing point of view in the new areas of innovation or future offerings.
What are your thoughts, Rauno?
Yes, Kone, we see that this collaboration with our customer and partners is a key driving force in this twin transition. And I think this a successful, sustainable future is made together with. And for example, now in Finland, thanks to Business Finland, we have this co-funding both Kone and Sandvik with this Veturi program, which is really create this kind of own ecosystem. Through this Vettori program, it really indicates this SME startup and public-private partnership effort in research to develop new smart city services and solutions, what will then create a new export business for Finland and address the problem of urbanization and climate change. And what comes then to the Finland, so I think in Finland, we have this long history and culture in engineering and technological innovation. And especially I see that this Finland is this kind of excellent test bed for trialing new solutions in digitalization and sustainability. And also I see that here in Finland, we have the right competencies and we have very good this kind of solid public-private partnership and culture of trust.
Thank you very much. My next question would have been on the role of collaboration in innovation, but you obviously highlighted that in your answers already, which I'm very happy to hear. But can you give us some examples that you've been that you've seen where Finland has been the driver of excellence in twin transition, either from your organizations or elsewhere?
Perhaps I could start by mentioning that Sandvik is a global leader in mine automation solutions, and that has been developed almost entirely from Finland towards the global markets in the past 2 decades. And that's made possible because of various of elements, so engineering competencies, good educational system, and also some visionary thinking that has been funded. And there has been a sort of a inspiration, and that has been motivated by opportunity to create something totally new. And then, of course, not to forget about the partners whom we have done that together. I think that's an excellent example.
Okay, I don't have so good example, but I think there's cooking, this kind of example. We have, for example, this kind of Gecko ecosystem for the smart bin, and actually it's also funded by the Business Finland, and there are all the players in the smart building areas what Finland have, and I think there will come something great which really drives this sustainability.
Yeah, at least I think that at VTT our main goal, of course, is drive excellence in this area, and for this we have very good position. We have high quality education in Finland as such, but then lots of professional researchers coming from Finland, but also from abroad. And we are very solid in the technical areas in terms of our expertise. And that's the basis for the VTT's role in this twin transition, since we have such a professional background and we can bring together not only the researchers, but the companies as well, and give platforms and drive new innovations in this area. We are internationally top level in lots of areas when it comes to digitalization and sustainability. So, yeah.
Good. Thank you. Well, now that we are approaching the end of this conversation, I would like to ask you to tell to our listeners outside of Finland one reason why Finland is a particularly good place to develop sustainable manufacturing, sustainable future, and why join us?
I can't say only one, I have to say more. But I think there is in Finland there is a culture of trust, what I think is important. People are excited about collaboration. And then we have really good cooperation with this public and private sector. So cities, universities, research institutes, companies are really working together. And actually, I have to also give the points to Business Finland so that you are really funding this ecosystem. And in that sense, it's a very good opportunity to really create something new around this twin transition, how to combine this digitalization and sustainability.
Thank you, Rano. That was definitely not a paid comment, but what are your thoughts, Mika?
Yeah, I'd like to turn the focus a little bit to the mobile machine building. That's the area where we are strong and we are collaborating a lot with our peer industries. We have a strong history in machine building, And a lot of the forerunning companies globally are having their strong, for example, development production hubs in Finland. To grow with the forerunning companies and to contribute and to add to that and to their value chains, I think there is a good base to collaborate with plenty of forerunning companies, for example, in area of machine building. And then about the Finnish society a little bit, I think the public-private partnerships, how they are structured, quite well working. And last but not least, and it was said already, I think the culture of creating trust, being trustworthy, living up to promises as a Finnish mentality, I think this is a very strong point for Finnish people, but also how we are conducting business.
Thank you, Mika. Tiina, your thoughts?
I think everything has more or less already said. I truly agree with both previous speakers, and it's the collaboration between research institutes and companies, and we really have these forerunner companies in Finland and pioneers that implement new innovations and bring them to the market as new solutions. Also, I would like to acknowledge Business Finland because it's really an enabler of new innovations by funding projects that look for new sustainable solutions.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
So I'd like to thank Rauma Hatika from Kone, from Sandvik, Mika Kaski, from VTT, Tiina Pajala, and from Business Finland, Tony Mäkelä, my co-host. Thank you all.
Many thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to welcoming you to our other podcast, Looking at the Future with Finland. For more information about business opportunities, research, development and innovation, funding, partnerships and collaborations, please visit our website www.investinfinland.fi and follow us, Invest in Finland, on Twitter and LinkedIn.